Welcome back to the office, Jay Bearhat. How are you?
We are so fucking back. I am so fucking pumped to be here.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, I guess I'm really glad to see you're in good spirits. What's got you feeling so pumped up?
I feel like I'm in like late high school, early college again, you know, like we're still in Iraq. That's a bummer, but like we got Bush out of office and we're getting Obama back in. New metal's the hottest thing on the airwaves right now. The Simple Life is still on TV. The internet is too slow, so people can't ruin your life as quickly on it. Women, girls get to wear skirts over jeans, and you can't say anything about that.
Ugh. God.
There's a song in our hearts. Global warming is like 5-10 years away from being a problem. It is so fucking good. We are so fucking back.
We're in the Garden of Eden, baby. The land of plenty.
Breaking Bad is not going through its weird ironic revival phase. It's just sincerely one of the most popular television shows.
Just unironic. Unironic, just full-throated appreciation. Irony isn't enormous yet.
People just think Walter White is badass and epic.
He's so people cool. Think, did you see how Heather he yelled Greta. At his wife on that episode last week?
Oh my god. And she deserved it.
She so deserved it, that fucking bitch.
That's what's crazy, is that she deserved it. I don't feel bad watching a woman get yelled at because she probably deserved it.
That's right. It's the late 2000s.
Bro, same thing with the like irony thing. We don't do irony misogyny anymore. We're back to just good old fashioned misogyny.
Oh, I miss it so. Well, yeah, that's amazing. But
I
mean,
like, you know, then I kind of like, I'll get out of here and I'll be reminded that my back is sore, that I need a sun lamp to function now.
Yeah.
I'll take my 50 supplements.
Yeah.
For my various tummy woes. Yeah. Put my mask back on.
There's a Frito in the White House.
There's a Frito. That old ass bastard do be looking like a Frito though. But, you know, for a good, cool, quick 90-minute runtime.
Yeah.
It felt like we were back.
We were. I assume you must be referring to none other than Socks.
Socks?
Saw X.
Socks. Socks.
Socks.
I am, and I'm here to tell you, it does not socks. I think the best way to summarize how fucking back the Saw series are, people, long time listeners don't know, I am Jigsaw, quotes, and and also a huge Saw fan in like a very, very, not, I don't want to be like, oh, it's such an interesting way to do it, but it's like, I say I'm a big Saw fan and people will be like, isn't that series like mostly bad? And I'll be like, yeah. That's why it's great.
Exactly.
And to give an example of how fucking back we are, the film does this like great retro, like modern version of the film where it, I would say like narratively wise, obviously is much more of a recent film. Not in a bad way, just in a like, you know, okay, you update the ethos of the series for this one.
Yeah.
But form-wise and like style-wise, they just are like trying to keep it as new metal era as possible, right down to when the characters first go to Mexico, they put the yellow filter on.
Oh my fucking god, bro.
Which like, you've got, I'm like, I have trouble believing that is not an intentional bit, because we are well past the point that like people do that like as a serious editing trick. Like, yeah, that has to be like a joke about the fact that like, oh, we're making this movie look like it came out in 2005.
Yeah, that is just such a level of meta that's like unbelievable to me. You know, if that is their level of taste or awareness or whatever you want to call it. Because, that was completely insane. That made me laugh out loud.
It, Our whole theater, we got to see this with a crowded theater, and we all just were like, everyone going apeshit.
To be fair, the crowd was us.
Mostly us. Was, in fact, mostly us. It is insane, because it's also the guy who did Saw 6.
The best
which
one.
Is one of the best, which is the best one, but also Saw 3D, which is, like, the worst of the original series.
he's really on both sides of the spectrum there. He's yeah. got a wide, wide berth.
But he, I don't know if it's just the way he directs, or if it is, like, his, like humor. Because Saw 3D is also the one that gave us Swag Saw. Or Jigsaw Incognito. The one of, the one there where there's a flashback of him and he goes up to a guy and he's wearing like a hoodie and a backwards baseball cap.
That's right.
With his like 80-year-old ass.
Oh my fucking God.
That's from Saw 3D. So it's like, that's like a famous like thing that everyone is like obsessed with, but is also very like, there's no way that like, that's gotta be a joke, right? Like, you don't dress Tobin Bell like that and think audiences are going to seriously look at this and be like, that's a good disguise. He looks really young.
He looks young and cool.
Yeah.
he literally, in that picture, looks like the Steve Buscemi meme. Like, it's so one for one that it's like, the same thing as the Mexico filter. I do wonder if it's a reference.
It's gotta be a bit. It's gotta be. But, I mostly am willing on this one to give it more towards like awareness, because the film does show enough awareness of trying to update the series is the wrong way to put it. It shows enough awareness of like what you do with a entry into a legacy horror series if you're not going to be doing a reboot, sequel, requel, threequel, fucking whatever people call them.
Yeah.
If you're not trying to Halloween Kills it.
Sure.
What do you do? And they deliver on like the a lot of the iconic things that people like about the series, while also I notice notably having the sort of expanded storyline for Jigsaw and Amanda's characters take place in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And not via flashbacks.
Yeah, that's true. Like, because I think, well, the Saw series historically has a very non-direct narrative, or whatever you want to call it. Or, I don't know, the timeline jumps around. I don't want to overstate, like, it's not exactly doing, like, Primer or anything like that. But this takes place, for example, this is the 10th film, and it takes place between the first and the second movie, apparently.
Yes. And that is, like, one of the things that I actually genuinely like and encourage people to watch the Saw series on, is as it turns into an off-the-rail soap opera where each L1 they have to try to up the twist and retcon more things, is that I have never seen a film that more understands that time in movies is fake.
Yeah.
And then uses that against you, the person watching it.
Yeah, very true.
Like, it is so funny to have a series that is riddled with flashbacks that are, like, very obviously, like, marked off as, like, this is a sepia tone one, and will include flashbacks within flashbacks, but then will also have things where it's, like, oh, you saw these three scenes in consecutive order, so you thought that they occurred in chronological order? Fuck you. That scene in the middle happened 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
You dumbass.
I'm trying to remember what the worst offender is. Like, I feel like it. Jigsaw, the movie.
Jigsaw is the worst offender because of the fact that, like, spoilers if you haven't seen it. Essentially, the entire like main narrative, like the trap narrative, actually takes place like 10 years prior and is actually the like first Jigsaw like traps that he did, like it's his trial run traps.
Yeah.
but is edited in a way and presented in the film in the way that there are currently ongoing Jigsaw traps. So you are assuming that they're related to the traps that you're being shown. And then it's revealed that, like, no, these like traps that are happening, unrelated.
It's some other shit.
It's not even the present. A guy's doing the same thing with similar looking people. Nope. You're not seeing it. That's not what you're seeing. You assume that these two, that this corpse in this scene is the body of the person who died in the previous scene. Wrong. Why would you assume that?
Stupid idiot, dummy, stupid viewer.
It's just crazy because it's like it is a type of narrative storytelling trick that only works via heavy abuse of like editing, and. Is one of the things I love about the Saw series is because it's like, it's such an insane way to do it. And it's such a, like, people are like, oh, this is like a cheap trick. And to an extent it is, but it's also like a really ballsy trick.
Yeah.
But there's a lot less of that in this one. It's kind of a self-contained narrative. The only flashbacks we really get are two events that occurred within the chronological narrative of the film.
Yes.
And then that beyond that, you know, scene A proceeds to scene B, proceeds to scene C. Everything is sort of shown in chronological order, except for when we have flashbacks to previous events to give us like a different perspective or to like reveal that when this character said this thing, it was a double entendre.
Right.
But very, very standard early Saw series. Kind of here's how we do a twist. Very Saw 2. Your son is in a safe
place. Yeah, it really felt that way. I mean, like, it made me think a lot about Saw 2 kind of throughout the runtime, weirdly enough, which is fair because this takes place right before that.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of ground to cover here because this is such a return to form for the series. I mean, compared to the immediate thing is like Spiral. It just goes so in the opposite direction of like, you know, we're fully back. We're so back.
Spiral was all about essentially like basically being almost embarrassed about the legacy of the Saw series. Mm-hmm. Like it wanted to be like, oh, we're going to do the Saw concept, but like we're going to do it as like, what if Seven was a series is basically what it is. Whereas Saw X feels more in line with the Saw series in the sense that like each one is building off of the other ones. I will be interested to see if they try to keep the series going. They do kind of set up some things here and there that they could take, you know, that like, okay, maybe the new Saw series will be a modern one, but it's all of these like surviving characters, some of whom are living on Jigsaw's legacy and some of whom aren't. Technically, the guy from Jigsaw is still around.
Yes.
Yeah. Hilariously, not in this film. Hilariously, no callback to him.
Yeah.
Which is a great gag to just have. It's just pretending that guy doesn't exist.
That is really hilarious.
He is the mini moose of the series where it's like, it's literally the big reveal in Jigsaw. It's like that. Oh, that's my other accomplice. Yep. Been with me the whole time.
Mini Moose for the Uninitiated is a character from Invader Zim where that's the whole bit. He shows up in the last episode and Zim is like, he was here the whole time.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, it's because they were going to add him as a character in the show, like specifically as a gag about like, oh, like Nickelodeon wants us to have more marketable characters, so we're just adding another annoying character. And then because they only got to do one last episode, they were just like, no, he's just been there the whole time. You just didn't see him.
Come on, you gotta pay closer attention to these episodes. Wake up! What show are you watching? You didn't see Minnie Moose in the pilot? You clown?
They should have had on the DVDs, like, a special edition where it's, like, they just, like, roughly cut in Minnie Moose into a bunch of previous, like, episodes. Like, you can watch the Minnie Moose takes.
They just replace Bloody Gurr with Minnie Moose. That would be a serve.
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, I would be curious to see where they take it from there. But the main thing about this is that it is, they set it within the continuity of the original, really the original, like, three.
Yeah.
I guess up to four, because they have the Mark Hoffman callback.
Yes, which yes.
Also had our theater just fucking shouting, especially as he gives the worst, this a line that feels like he wrote it.
not him, the actor, Hoffman the character.
Yeah, Hoffman the character, just really leaning into the, like, Hoffman is just a dumb guy. He's just a really dumb guy.
Do you think Jigsaw Quotes had a spectral presence in the writing room?
I feel like it had to a degree, if only, not to, like, toot my own horn here, but if only because it's, like, so much of the advertising for this film was taking obvious, like, pointers from, like, the post-Jigsaw Quotes fandom. Again, I feel like I'm overstating my influence here, but I really don't, I really legitimately saw firsthand how a shitpost account turned people from, like, oh, it's making fun of this movie series that was really dumb from the 2000s into, actually, these movies are really fun and really funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, the advertising for Saw stuff, like, kind of caught up with that, because it was like, okay, it's the same thing with, like, how you have to market, like, I don't know, Better Call Saul. Any reappraisal of, like, millennial era media that is getting a second wind, you kind of have to be like, okay, the way people engage with this stuff is now much more fandomy. It is a lot less self-serious.
Yeah, definitely.
And I definitely feel like there is a degree of that here, but I like it that it doesn't do that, and it doesn't lean too far into being like super hokey, like, ah, wink wink, nudge nudge, tongue in cheek. It works because it plays itself dead fucking serious. So yes. it could just be that they got everyone back, and so they just were like, all right, people like the original stuff, do not change the formula, don't fuck with it.
Yeah. it wasn't broke.
People, the things that people didn't like, that they said they didn't like in the 2000s, turns out they love. Keep doing it.
Yeah, very true. I mean, to give you a little backstory on myself, it's time to talk about me now.
Yeah.
I don't really care for the Saw series. I mean, certainly it was prolific and it was everywhere and I watched. I at least watched up to Saw 3 when the franchise was in its heyday and was, like, in theaters and stuff. But when I revisited Saw, because of partly because of the whole reappraisal, partly because of being a part of Film Critters, I had a weird moment where I was like, I think I actually loved Saw, the original Saw movie, like, when I saw it back in the day. Mm-hmm. I've already gone through this tangent before. I'm sure I said this on the Spiral episode, but, like, I don't think Saw's very good. Not even just for like the contrived political weirdness of it. I definitely think, I don't know, complicated feelings about, like, the new metal styling of it all. Kind of, I think it wrought, like, a world of, like the Hostel series coming out off the back of it. That wasn't very good. I don't know. Even as I sit here and yak about it, I find that my feelings are very complicated, because there's a lot of nostalgia, but then there's a lot of remembering me being at the time a little, like, ugh. Because yeah. it got pretty saturated. So, like, the market got saturated by, like, gory stuff.
I will say, in Saw's defense, I think that it caught a wave. I don't think it was necessarily the progenitor.
Yeah.
Especially because, let me see here.
I mean, Faces of Death was, like, huge in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, because I was gonna say, like, Hostel was, like, within a year of the first Saw movie.
True.
I'm pretty sure it was, but it was also, Eli Roth, who had also done Cabin Fever.
Yes.
Like the year prior. And that is also like a slop movie.
Yeah.
My defense of it is always that I don't think it's that it's torture porn, because it's like, it's not that like the gruesome graphicness isn't a big part of the draw of people being like, how are they gonna explode a body this time? But that the thing that like really engaged with me, and I think is why this new entry is like that, is I always just call the Saw films, I was like, they're gyro soap operas. Like the reason why so many of them do big group traps is because if it's just one person in a set of traps, like one trap after the other, it's like, okay, you're just watching someone get tortured over and over again.
Right.
But when there's like weird dynamics, like groups, or it's like one person traveling from trap to trap where they have to do something to save this person, it's the drama of it that makes it really fun. And the heightened gore of it is like, heightens that drama, but a lot of what makes it enjoying is just watching characters fucking bicker. It's just characters just fucking bicker. It's basically Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but there's a saw in the middle of the room. You know, that's fair. Instead of the ticking clock isn't, are they gonna get cucked? The ticking clock is, bro, your head about to be turned around.
Your head's about to get cucked off your body.
Yeah. and that's always like what I've enjoyed about the series, is that it's like the traps are like whatever, and like obviously there's some that are more spectacle. Like a big problem that a big reason why I hate Saw 7 is that a lot of the traps are very spectacle and don't really relate to the film necessarily, and are like pretty obviously there for that. You know, Saw 7 has the like back to back like, this cheating bitch playing two boys against each other trap, and then like immediately after it has the like Nazi Chester Bennington cameo trap, where it's like, okay, these are both supposed to be, you're supposed to cheer on, like, yeah, kill that woman and kill those five neo-Nazis. Like
a little all over the place, absolutely.
Which, let's talk about it. As many people who are long-term listeners right now, I am a big, the way I approach like the questions of politics and art is obviously all art has politics, but I think that there's a degree to which like you kind of have to negotiate with that a little bit. Like you can't just say I like this so that it agrees with me politically.
Yes.
Or this is politically reactionary, so therefore it is bad. Because, you know, art is multifaceted. Like, you can engage with those things. I there are some works that, you know, politically I'm like, I fully am. This movie makes some great political points. It's a shame it fucking sucks. and then there's some stuff where I'm like, wow, the fact that this movie is a little bit reactionary is actually what makes it really good. Usually that's horror, because I think horror is kind of a basis for a lot of reactionary politics in its first place. So I think that when you draw on that correctly, I saw this thing recently where someone was complaining about the new Exorcist being reactionary, which maybe it is. I haven't seen it. But
unlike the old Exorcist movies,
that's what's insane, is that in the review, they compare it to the first Exorcist and they call it like revolutionary. And I'm like, you can't just decide that the old Exorcist movie was leftist. Like, it wasn't. I'm sorry. Like,
We gotta save this for the episode.
Okay.
We are gonna do an
Exorcist episode. But point being is like, that is a great example where it's like people will like, well, I can't dismiss that the original Exorcist is good, so I'm gonna pretend that it's woke. And it's not that you can't extract leftist arguments and values from it, because that comes free with being a human. That's how you engage with art. And to that regard, you know, my big argument with the series is that I think that a big reason why Saw blew up is so much is because it gets at the same guttural populist brain that gave us Obama and like stop and frisk laws.
Yeah.
And that I think it speaks to the specific American political unconscious.
Yes.
That is fucking batshit insane. And that's because, like, the series is constantly both affirms, but I think ultimately is always contradicting and undermining Jigsaw's politics. So Jigsaw's politics are obviously, you know, a lot more to the right, like trad, you know, like he targets Nazis, he'll target Nazis, he'll target like wife beaters, but he'll also target like guys who call out of work too much and like drug and like people with drug addiction and like sex workers, but then he'll also like target like healthcare insurance companies.
Yeah.
So he has a very, I like these films because it really, I think they're really good at confronting you with this idea of like, who is the correct target for your violence? And I think the films are pretty firm in saying that Jigsaw's idea doesn't work, because they consistently show that like his whole philosophy of like, oh, these traps will set you free, like they don't work. They don't. Like Amanda ends up way worse off. Yeah. Hoffman immediately becomes a villain and starts creating traps that people can't escape from. Like, no, like there's the whole bit in like one of the later films where Hoffman is like, ah, oh, but don't you appreciate life more? And she just goes, I don't have a fucking arm.
I forgot about that. That's really good.
Like that's part of what I mean about, like, I think this series is self-aware and that it's like, it constantly is putting, like, you only ever see people be like, Jigsaw had some really good points, when they're like Amanda, who's like insane.
Right. Yeah, like,
and so that's part of what I mean about, like, I like the weird complicated politics. And so I like that that even returns in this one, because Jigsaw targets COVID disinformation, basically.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't really interpreted it that way, but that's, yeah.
So to me, the thing that made me immediately like sit up in my chair, be like, oh, is when he first comes across the scam doctor who is selling a cure-all that will save you and is really easy, but the government is suppressing it because they don't want you to like get this like miracle cure that is like that will cut into pharmaceutical profits.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduce him as Dr. Peterson. But it's with a D and not a T, like Jordan Peterson's name is.
Oh, you think that's a reference to Jordan Peterson?
I was a little like, maybe that's just a coincidence, except that the fail daughter girl boss in this film is named Cecilia Peterson, and the real life influencer right wing Andrew Tate fucking daughter of Jordan Peterson is Michaela Peterson. So I don't think it's like I don't think it's supposed to be a one-to-one, but the names are like similar enough, and like there's an obvious way, and that it's like, okay, well, you know, the movie takes place in 2005. They can't literally have it be about COVID.
Right.
But the gist that they're getting at is on medical scammers who promise miracle cures to desperate people who usually are actually facing medical neglect, because Jigsaw is both in the series and kind of in this one sort of shown to be being kind of bounced around with like medical neglect.
Yes.
You know, the way in which he's having to navigate this bureaucracy as a man who is dying, and you know, the doctors are just like, well, the easiest answer is just die. Fucking die.
<They're laughs> die with dignity. Die.
Like very, I think the film does a really good job of taking kind of stuff that's in the air now around both people being sick of feeling like the medical establishment doesn't care about them. They're right. And how that creates a vacuum where usually right-wing disinfo or just general scamfluencers, like, kind of rise up to make a bunch of money off of people desperate for some sort of answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because they are so desperate for hope, are willing to accept something like this. That's what I took the film as, because it's, you know, that is what happens in it. But because it's 2005, they're just continuing on with the Jigsaw's cancer treatment thing.
Right.
Also fun possible little continuity thing. She mentions in the film that, like, she's like, oh, my dad, you know, like, he was doing this in Norway, yada yada, but now he's on the run. But we're doing this in Mexico right now. And then, like, when she's trying to bargain, she's like, oh, my dad is actually legit. In six, the cancer treatment that is an experimental with cancer treatment with, like, possible, like, really, like, the actual legit one that he's referring to, the study is in Norway. That's what he's trying to get his insurance to cover. Mm. So I do wonder if maybe that's supposed to be a subtle little, like, oh, okay, like, that doctor is maybe legit, or, like, there is, a, like, that is what sets up the events that fall into six, is that when he does actually find experimental treatment that might work, his insurance turns it down.
Damn.
But this focuses on scammer culture stuff, like scamfluencer medical disinfo culture, which is, you know, a huge thing right now. Great gag moment that someone could make a bunch of notes off of, which is just post the scene of the guy getting doing brain surgery on himself, and then the heated face masks close, and then just put a question mark, like, put over it, like, a fade in question mark, like, vaxxed. But yeah, that's sort of what I got, is like, that's what it's sort of taking aim at. But at the same time, Jigsaw's like, you know, he's essentially taking aim at this empire that is being run by a rich white woman, failed daughter, like, sociopath businesswoman, and her partner. But that her employees are, like, pretty clearly desperate on the margins of living, like, local Mexican, just, like, people.
Yeah.
You know, the highest up the ladder we see is the one guy who has to do brain surgery on himself, is, like, he works at, like, a veterinary clinic, and he sells, like, dog medicine as, like, drugs on the side.
Yeah.
Like, they're all pretty clearly people who are living on the margins, who are also being exploited in a trickle-down way. And, you know, Amanda even brings this up to Jigsaw multiple times, and he's like, well, we all have free will, which is one of my actual favorite exchanges between the two, is when she's talking to him specifically because she takes sympathy on, I'm blanking on her name, but the girl who's struggling with drug addiction.
Gabriella,
who has what is one of my favorite characters in this film. The bit where it, like, cuts to her just like balled up, like very clearly upset, and then it cuts to a wider shot, and the fucking Jigsaw puppet is just sitting in front of her with the tape, and she's just mad. It's so fucking funny. And then she starts to play it, and it's like, hello, Gabriella. And she just goes, no, and just, like, throws it across the room.
She has the best, like, reaction of anybody who's ever been in a trap. Like, she really good.
She is so real. No, she's a great actress. Absolutely want to see if she ends up in more stuff, because she does a fucking incredible performance.
Yeah.
And I think the film does a pretty good job of also making you really sympathetic to her, in part so that you both don't really trust Jigsaw, but also so you definitely hate Mikala later.
Yes.
Or Cecilia later in the film. But there's that line with Amanda and Jigsaw where they go, like, she goes, you know, I don't think it's fair to really put Gabriella in this. Like, you know, she's struggling with addiction. And, like, when you're addicted to something, it's really easy to get caught up in something bigger than you are. And he, like, completely flies over his head that Amanda is also talking about herself.
Yeah.
And the way she's involved in Jigsaw's bullshit. Just, like, flies completely over his head that she's basically saying, you know, that, like, she is essentially in the same position that I am in with you, where it's like, I'm latching onto you as this, like, strong figure who is promising me salvation, and that I may be in over my head. And he's just like, well, we all have free will.
Well, obviously you chose to be in a trap where I strung your jaws to a reverse bear trap.
Which is another great thing is I also love because it's like even if in like the first 10, 15 minutes of the film, they're already like getting in those little jabs at Jigsaw because in the original series run, you know, he would always say, he's like, oh, I predict every move and stuff. And then like the way traps are set up is like, well, clearly you're expecting people to like not survive.
Yeah.
So like if you're claiming that like I'm testing their will to survive, but you're setting it up knowing that like they probably won't.
Yeah.
How much free choice are you really giving them?
He is very fascinating.
Yeah. And so they have that gag where he sees a janitor, like, possibly about to steal a watch. And it goes into his mind palace.
Oh, my God. That was where the fucking best part of the whole movie.
Where he imagines, like, literally, like, a peak 2004 movie, like, trap of the guy getting tortured and failing it. And then it comes back to the real world, and the guy is like, oh, I'm going to put the watch back, actually. And he's like, you made the correct choice. And it's like, you made the correct choice because I was going to fucking kill you.
You're gonna be lunch meat if you didn't put that fucking watch back in the drawer, little man.
Which is great because it just opens so early on is that like, okay, as much as he says this stuff, even when he imagines it, like he doesn't imagine them being happy or escaping. He imagines them fucking dying.
That is like, so the American psyche right there is just like, if you ever go on TikTok and just like see compilations of people being like, and I got my gun, and if anybody steps on my property, I'll kill them. Like the way that people in America will just like openly fantasize about murder, torture,
literally invent situations,
yeah,
in which they will be able to murder someone, but it'll be justice, so it's not like morally evil that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Or the current fascination Americans have on like online with watching like real crime videos and being like, oh, we need to have that guy murdered. And it's like, you have no emotional relationship to this other than you watched a video of someone like knocking over a vape store.
Literally.
like you are creating the stimuli. But you live in fucking the suburbs. You don't see vape stores.
Nothing like this shit has ever happened to you. But you saw the video on your fucking Twitter timeline. And now, oh my god, the city is it turns you into fucking Batman. You turn into fucking Rorschach.
Yeah.
Talking about some shit you don't know about.
It's insane. It's truly like and that's what I mean about like how I like that the series is at its core a little reactionary.
Yes.
Because I think it would be inauthentic if it wasn't, and I don't think it would be a good like critique of Jigsaw if it didn't to some extent understand people like Jigsaw.
Yeah,
because Jigsaw is that taken to its fullest. He is that taken to its highest degree. And I think even in this one, where I love the twist of like, oh, there is a person more evil than Jigsaw. Like, I like, there's a person more evil than Jigsaw, and it's a capitalist.
Yeah, I did think that was quite fun.
No, I love that. I like that at the very end of it all, they give you a person to root for to die in a trap. And they, like, go as far as possible to be like, no, this is what capitalists are actually like. But again, I like it because it's like, to a degree, though, you have to have well, not to a degree, but it's like, I think the critique works a lot better if Jigsaw seems like the realistic id of this type of people.
Yeah.
Because if he's just like a guy who's obviously wrong and everyone is talking about how wrong he is, I don't think that would be a very interesting film. I think a movie where a serial killer is being told that killing people is wrong. I know. I know that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think a movie where a serial killer is allowed to like explain his ideology and the film kind of reflects it and like shows the products of it, but also shows that like nobody who buys into his bullshit is like even remotely like is even remotely benefiting from it, and then the fact that it's actually like kind of is just showing that his ideology is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think that works really well. It's a great self-negating thing, and it's a great way to make a sort of horror art film, or rather a horror film that you can engage with his art, is that you just kind of depict it, and then you know some of your audience is just going to be like, yeah, Jigsaw was so right to put that abused woman in a trap with her husband because now he's dead. I mean, she could have died, but now he's dead. So
that's so true.
But at the same time, you know, like there's no film you can make that people aren't going to do stuff like that with. And I think the series does a really great job of showing that Jigsaw's kind of a psycho, kind of crazy, little psycho with it.
Bit of the Walter White effect with Jigsaw, where you kind of have to like squint your eyes a little bit harder if you're a certain type of viewer.
Yeah, you just kind of have to. I love, unironically though, that the film ends with this like weird family moment. Jigsaw and Amanda walking away like mother and father to this like Mexican child that they just were like, sorry, you have PTSD, here's $1 billion.
God, I mean, like, okay, yeah, to my point, like, you know, like I said, I have stylistic qualms, maybe not necessarily political qualms. I mean, like, the you know, obviously we can talk about the politics forever. You could write hella, let's write like pop psychology or not pop philosophy books about Saw, you know, those like hardcover, like,
oh yeah, annoying, yeah, yeah,
like illustrated,
the Kantian Jigsaw.
Yeah, but that being said, like, I screamed when Hoffman showed up, like, just maybe by virtue of like being part of the Film Critters Project and being hyper aware of like the Saw chronology and like kind of who Hoffman is and what he represents. And I don't know, like, it was this like in high contrast to like a lot of the recent fare in the series. I can understand why they maybe felt like they needed to take a break from like the Tobin Bell drama hour. But I didn't want to take a break from it because I fucking love it. It's
no, I love grandpa's stupid bullshit. I love his dumb little speeches.
Oh God. Yeah, he's spectacular. Something about the combination of him with the interplay of him with these other characters.
It's so good to see Shawnee Smith back. I also really was glad that they didn't try to de-age them, that they just like let her look way older than her character is supposed to be. Cause she fucking, she's so good.
Yeah, she's incredible. I mean, yeah, like it wasn't, I don't know, maybe I'll feel different if I go back and rewatch the older ones. It didn't crazily hugely stand out to me, which is a weird thing. I think it would have stood out more if they did try to de-age people.
Okay.
Or rather, like, the de-aging process would have stood out in a way that I wouldn't have liked. So I like what they did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, because if you go back and watch, like, Saw 2, like, it is very clear that it has been like, what, two decades? Decade?
Oh, yeah, it's been almost 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and, like, she looks great, but she is definitely still, like, a lot older than her character is theoretically supposed to be here.
Right, right. But, you know,
they didn't try to de-age them. And it works, I think, for Jigsaw, because, like, a lot of the film is, like, him kind of being at his lowest, like, hope.
Yeah.
Which makes it really funny, because he's like, I'm getting a second lease on life by killing a bunch of people. The gag of him leaving the hospital thinking he's been cured of cancer, and it just immediately cuts to him in the park
doodling
death traps.
Funniest fucking thing in the world.
It's so fucking funny. Just so fucking funny.
Like, that's his grandpa me time. That's his, like, relaxation hour. Is sitting in the public park doodling murder machines.
Fucked up on painkillers.
Like, if that's where we're at with this series, I can support it. Like, yeah. maybe people weren't vibing or weren't understanding the vision of Saw 3D at the time that, like, you know, the series, not so much as, like, jump the shark, but it's just, like, how seriously can you take it at a certain point? I mean, same goes for that same cycle happened to, like, the Alien franchise, where by the time we get to Alien 4, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. No, it's the series has to play straight. Like, if it leans too much into being irony or whatever, I think it doesn't work. But it is a funny series. It is a gore soap opera.
Yeah.
Starring the most cartoon humans imaginable. There are police procedural scenes with characters who are either the dumbest people on Earth or who are just like, ah, did you know that this chemical we found at the scene is only found in exactly 3 homes in America, one of which is yours? Like, that is the series. That is the series' legacy, is that it is a very fucking absurd series.
Yeah.
I always call it, as it's like when I first would like pitch people on the Saw series and why I love them, I always say that it's like, you know how, like, as horror, you know, late horror franchise syndrome, where, like, as a movie series goes on, it just gets crazier and crazier, and, like, the ways in which they're trying to top it or, like, keep it going just get, like, more and more absurd, especially because ones keep getting made that they think are going to be the final one in the series.
Yeah.
Saw does that by, like, the third movie. Like, so the Saw series basically immediately goes off the rails and just keeps going.
Yeah, that's true. Like, we have, like, a very high regard for Saw 6, but it's hard to argue that it's like trying really hard to be a good film necessarily. I don't know, like, Saw 6 is very good. Saw 6 is probably my favorite in the whole series, honestly. Better than... maybe neck and neck with the first one. But it, like, you know, when you consider that it is the one that came right before Saw 7, the most unserious movie ever made in any franchise.
It's so bad. I was saying, you know, like, yeah, you know, there's a reactionary heart to the series that I think works with the way in which the series is also very self-critical. Saw 10 is just really misogynist. And, like,
you mean Saw 7?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Saw 7 is just really misogynist in a way that is like, oh, like, there is always a little bit of a simmering misogyny because, you know, horror. But,
yeah.
Oh, boy, do they fucking, oh, boy, does it bubble up in Saw 7.
They turn it up. They turn it out with the sexism.
I'm not even just talking about, like, the murder of, like, the girlfriend. There's, like, the woman who dies because she won't shut up. Trap.
I hate that. I hate it. That's...
The girlfriend roasting machine. Like, there's so much just, like, weird misogyny in that movie.
Yeah. For a franchise where... Wasn't it Saw 3 where the, like, woman has to... like, kill her abusive husband to survive by pulling the spikes through?
I think
through.
They do it. Yeah, I think they do it in, like, 2 of them. Because there's also, I think in Saw 6, I think it's either Saw, it might actually even be in Saw 7. There's also a trap where, like, there's a flashback trap that is baffling because it's, like, a woman and her abuser, like, hanging on, like, a pole covered in barbed wire, like hitting each other to try to knock each other down. Into, like, these rotating blades underneath them, but it's like a Christmas factory. It's like one of the most baffling traps that they, and it's only shown in a flashback. But yeah, no, like there's been a couple like that, but that's the big one, because where you know it's like, oh, you're pierced together with your husband, you will have to pry yourself off him or, like, basically get him killed to escape this trap,
right? Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we could spend forever on whether that's feminist or not. But yeah, I mean, like, it's the series has like a minor consistency problem in terms of its messaging, but at the same time, like, that's also a very astute part of the American condition, because no one can really seem to decide what's moral and what's amoral.
Yeah. No, I guess ironically, I think bringing it back now to when there is specifically this, like, right-wing crime panic narrative, and having him specifically not be targeting just petty criminals, I think is also pretty smart. And would be, like, kind of my one hesitation if they continue it, is that, like, I would like to see the traps be a lot bigger, rather than just, like, the kind of fodder that a lot of the earlier ones in, where they're just sort of, like, generic criminal behavior types.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, also is makes better films for the sort of drama of them, because a lot of what makes the drama and a lot of the traps work is that the characters usually are, like, involved in some degree of conspiracy or some degree of cover-up, and so the drama is in them trying to not reveal so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stuff was all very interesting. I think that I don't know if Saw X necessarily pulls from the same level of kind of intrigue necessarily. Like I thought that the villain was a little bit cartoony. You kind of know instantly that she's like bad news.
Yeah.
I mean, the performance is quite good. But the character, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, like, it is very, very fascinating to kind of, yeah, reach this stage in the franchise where we kind of get this moment of Jigsaw not being the master of puppets. Like, he's thwarted for, like, a good portion of this film.
And then there's the whole, like, actually, this was part of my plan, but not quite.
Yeah, it's the most off-plan, you know, canonically speaking.
Which I think also works, too, because it's like, you know, we had this bit when we were walking out of it that, like, you could tell this is early on in his career because he hasn't play-tested them well enough, because it's like a bunch of the people do the traps, but they just run out of time. But it's like, well, they only really ran out of time by, like, just sheer, like, oh, it takes too long for, like, the bone marrow to go through, or, like, it takes too long for, like, the brain particles to dissolve.
Gotta love these fucking movies.
Yeah. And so it's, like, that was, like, a bit that, like, we had noticed is, like, in the first early, like, Saw films, like, you know, it's obvious that it's before he becomes, like, the fucking Omega Mind superpower, like, I could predict your every move. I am an INFJ. I know exactly what you're going to do. And so, like, I kind of like that, it reinforces that this is early enough on in his serial killing career where it's like he could fuck up. He almost fucked up, like, real bad.
Yeah, he got a kid waterboarded with blood. That's fucked up.
The fucking line delivery on bloodboarding. It's so funny. It's just like, wow, topical.
she was really funny. We gotta hand it to her.
I did also appreciate that a thing that they did break with tradition from movies from the 2000s is that if you're going to do a horror film like this, where a vast majority of the body count is going to be brown people, that they actually worked with a cast and crew of, like, largely local talent and local unions, it looked like. Yeah, because it was actually filmed in Mexico City, and I remember looking at the credits and being like, "Oh, they actually, like, worked mostly with people from the surrounding area, rather than importing a bunch of, like, fucking white people down." So I don't know. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that if you're gonna set a film there and have it be, you know, a lot of, like I said earlier, like, marginal people being kind of used as pawns in this game between two psycho white people, that you at least are involving those people in the production of the project.
You know, shout out to that. And I mean, like, shout out to horror and kind of the place that horror has, like, in the world of, like, movie making, where it's kind of being produced at a level that is very I guess I would call it consistent, or rather, like, I don't know, like, that feels so diametrically opposed to, like, the Marvel movie thing, the Disney thing, where, like, you know, just, I don't know, what way is there to put it?
The Marvel thing where it's, here's our big stunt casting or a big promotional thing, but it's all the same Disney executives that are behind it making all the money. It's all the same people at the actual, like, construction of it.
Right.
There's just a swapping out of a few of the kind of more public facing things, which coincidentally also makes those people more likely to face the ire and backlash.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's putting them in the frontline splash damage zone rather than putting them in, like, positions that are, like, maybe more beneficial to the communities that they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, letting them make their own fucking movies and not a fucking superhero project.
Absolutely. You know, not we're not here to say that Lionsgate is the voice of the people or whatever. Like, they also...
Blumhouse is. No.
Yeah, Blumhouse is. There we go. But yeah, it is what it is, and you got to applaud that when it happens. Especially now where, I mean, you know, the workforce is going through upheaval, but yay.
Yeah.
shout out to the strike winner. Shout out to the WGA. Fuck yeah, you guys did that shit.
Yeah. Oh God. So happy for them. It was so funny when I kept seeing people like, guys, like, I know it's going to be really hard. Your TV shows aren't going to be getting come out. And I was like, one, what fucking TV shows are you watching? Like, what's new? What's new that you desperately need a new episode of?
What is happening on television?
Yeah. And two, there's so much TV.
Yeah.
This isn't like in like at the very, like, people kept trying to, like, you know, make the equivalency to, like, the 2004, ironically enough, like the Lost era and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But it was like, yeah, but at that point, the only options for watching TV were what's on TV.
Yeah.
what is currently on the TV right now. And so, like, at the very least, there's more of an argument to be made about how, like, you know, it's going to interrupt your television watching experience.
Yeah.
Bitch, you have streaming. Just watch something else. Just wait.
You have a lot of shows to catch up on if you're trying to watch every show ever.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big ask.
What are you so excited about? What are you in a hurry for?
They gotta stop working on...
What are you in a hurry for that these people not fucking choking on their own ashes is like a big burden on you?
God, seriously. Oi, 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 oi. But yeah, either way, I mean, like, you know, yeah, I'm not willing to say for my own sake that Saw X is, like, a good movie, but it was worth going. I had a really, really fun time.
It's definitely a film I recommend seeing with a crowd of Saw heads.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, freaking out with people was an absolute joy. Don't take it seriously if you go into the theater. Don't get mad if people are yelling. Just yell along with them.
Yeah, just yell at the movie. I really want, if you go and see it, keep an eye out for the guy who works in the veterinary clinic. There's this weird dog poster that's in the office that I want so bad because it looks so fucking weird. Who? It's like only in a couple shots, but like me and another friend like noticed it immediately and we're talking afterwards like, what the fuck? It was just like a weird like dog on vacation like poster, but it was just like that weird over photoshopped look.
I fully was staring at that.
It's such a surreal looking poster.
Someone in the group chat called him called that dog Joshua.
Oh yeah. It looked like the Joshua meme dog.
It looked like Joshua.
It was a Joshua moment. Joshua cameo.
Joshua moment. Shout out to Joshua. Well, thanks for popping in today. I'm so glad that you got this wonderful, wonderful dub.
Yeah, no, and you know what? And I'm super excited because I think the next thing I'm going to go see is the new Exorcist remake by the guy who did the Halloween remakes. And I mean, that's got to be good, right? I think this might continue on my streak of we're so back. If it actually does end up being good, do not quote me on this. do not try to own me by saying I was being too cynical and rude about the movie.
I mean, hey, if it's actually good, that's a pleasant surprise. But just in case, I'm going to bump up your prescription and schedule you for a week out.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That's fair.